The wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code SPREAKER to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with you on another awesome Monday. As awesome as it can be when anything except for football is the big deal. But that's all right. I'm here in studio with the man himself, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
And of course, Chris Rankin, not to be denied, coming us from the, from the fire station, it would appear, continuing to serve his duty as a firefighter and also his devotion to the craft that is football. I mean, as sports, I've said, Chris, that this week, as sports weeks go, is among the slowest of all time. Do you think Kanye would jump up on stage and interrupt me for a week that's more boring?
Yeah, he might do it. I mean, especially with how today is with the opening of baseball season and how slow sports is. They have to talk about baseball. And then also the national championship game tonight. He might just go ahead and do it. But
well, I mean, would he have a different week that would be more boring than this to interrupt me with? I mean, maybe last week. I'm going to let you finish. This is a pretty boring week. But last week, they didn't have baseball story. It was the most boring week of all time. About time. I don't know, man. I don't know. Hey, at least DraftKings gave me an excuse, a reason to at least pretend to be excited about baseball with that promo. I don't know. Anyway, no, hey, because fantasy sports, that's why. There you go. No, but, you know, with that, there are some other things to hype up here real quick. First of all, the Student of the Game Sports Symposium is now officially a thing. You can find out on the NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Just type in NGSC Sports at the search, and, you know, you will see three videos there. All of them by me, the newest one being, of course, the Sports Symposium. Me and my video production guy, Demo, is taking care of that for you. Good time all the way around, though, so check that out. And, yeah, there you go. The draft. Some people think of the draft and they think of beer, and that would probably be me and Chris. But you got the draft coming up in general. That's why we're doing the team needs anyway for the South, of course, this week in particular. But let me ask you this, guys. When it comes to draft analysts out there, a name, who's somebody that you actually find credible? I'm just asking. See, Weasel already has the lock in and think hard because I'm like, I don't know. Right? I mean, anybody at all?
I just have to grab some names, but let's see.
Well, no, if no one comes to mind, I don't need you to search. We're not looking to get. So Weasel doesn't know of anybody he finds credible. I'm with that. Chris, what about you?
And I don't think anyone really. I mean, you know, you get the ESPN draft experts, but I mean, they're way off all the time. So I don't. It's incredible. I don't think anyone, especially how bad their draft 1.0 to their 3.0, how big of a difference it is from in these college kids didn't even play any games or any combine has come out.
Well, gentlemen, I have the answer to your woes. Come April 16th, the NGSC Sports Crew we'll have the first ever NGSC Sports mock draft live on the show. We're going to do only the first round, but I'll be the host. Everybody knows I ain't trying to do the draft. I just get to be Roger Goodell, which I'm stoked about that, you know. For the first pick of the 2015 NGSC Sports mock draft, I'm practicing. I might hire a vocal coach for that part. But people who will know the draft forwards, backwards, left, right, up, down, and every other direction you can think of will be there from the network. Of course, our main bodies from Draft Central, of course, Josh Zimmer, Jamie Council, and Montel Hardy will all be representing. Brandon Howard will be representing as well. Sports Talk Florida, definitely a strong personality there. We've had him on this show multiple times. Twan Staley will be there as well. John Doucette, Jerome Butler, a.k.a. Raider Rome, and Josh Mattson will be aboard from the NGSC West Recess. And, yeah, I think that that rounds everybody up here that's a member of that squad. Oh, yeah, and I'm hosting it, so that'll be fun. At least it better be. Dang it. I don't know. Anyways, you know what's always fun, though, guys? Making fun of teams that are bad. So let's go ahead and start off with the team needs of the NFC South. Boom. So here's the thing, guys. When we get into this topic of the Kim Kardashian sisters of the NFL, I know that they had a playoff game, a playoff winner with a losing record. But I'm still not very enthused by at least two of the teams I'll say two and a half of the teams because I like Cam Newton, but I don't know. Let's start off with the Saints. Now, first off, let me go on record saying this because we kind of talked about it a few weeks ago when it actually happened. Now that we've had the opportunity to kind of digest and walk through it, here's what I can tell you guys up front. You can tell me if you agree or not. The move to acquire Max Unger at center for Jimmy Graham was flipping awesome and nothing short of it.
I think it was also a first-round pick and Unger, right?
If that's what you got in front of you, I'll take your word for it. I'm more focused on the player in question there. But if they got a first-round pick, only an augmentation. Chris, I don't think you're going to disagree with me on that.
No, I'm not, because that offensive line for the Saints was abysmal last year. And they need something, and Max Unger was the focal point up there for the Seattle Seahawks for the last few years there, and it was just paved the way for Russell Wilson to be successful up there in that offense.
Yeah, well, not just Russell Wilson. Of course, you know, Marshawn Lynch doesn't necessarily have to have great blockers in front of him, but they certainly help. And, I mean, can we think about how easy it's going to be by comparison for him in the South this year? Okay, the Falcons, John Babineau might be the big man there. I'm not worried about that. Greg Hardy, no longer a Panther, not an issue there. Gerald McCoy is the only intimidating factor on a defensive line, not a Saint, because there's Cameron Jordan there as well. See, now you got to switch it around from that tight end. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, Weasel, what do you got?
Oh, no, just I was saying that the Seahawks, they traded Max Unger and a first-round pick.
So, indeed.
To Seattle for Graham and a fourth-round pick.
I mean, dude, you can't front on that.
That's
good. You aren't going to front on that. You're not going to do it.
I think it's the reason it works. I mean, it's because of Drew Brees. Because, I mean, he can make, like, players that aren't so good, he can get their name up there and produce. So, I guess what the organization was thinking is that, Brees will still be able to produce without him.
Well, hold on. I got to stop the music. Considering the fact that they are the Saints, here's what he says to have in the younger players still remaining out there. Oh, yeah. 80s music smack. Well, I guess it would be nice. He's got faith. That's right. The Saints have faith. There's already enough jokes there, too. But he's got faith in the youth of that receiver core. I mean, look, Marquise Colston's still there. I get it. Brandon Cooks is an up-and-coming guy. But one of the needs I had listed, I put O-line lower because they got Max Unger. Let's be clear. But I put tight end on their needs. What would you say is their top need, though, Weasel? Because I have it as a tight end.
Let's see. I think wide receiver, okay, but I guess just offensive line, like guard or, otherwise, I think they're all right. Maybe defensive line,
and specifically tackle. I can see that. But Chris, here's what I noticed looking at the Saints roster. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. Where I wanted to pick on them on defense, they've made adjustments. They got Brandon Browner. They got Danelle Ellerbe. I mean, like Weasel pointed out, other than that defensive front, where else do they have need?
Yeah, I'd still think more linebackers they need. I mean, Ellaby helps a little bit, but their defense front four isn't that bad. It's just their secondary and their linebackers are horrible. So
I don't know about horrible.
With the addition of Browder,
with Ellaby and Junior
Browder and everything, it helps. But I mean, you can still use another corner back there.
Well, another corner, I can see that, but Junior Gallette and Donnell Ellaby, and you're going to call them horrible? I don't know if I go horrible on you. I don't know. Maybe I have a little too much faith going on here because I got George Michael just jamming in the background here. Maybe that's my
problem. I don't. Yeah, that's the other thing, man. You're playing the song. Why don't you do the remake of One Disc? It's actually a little better than George Michael there.
I don't see. I mean, you know, that's not as funny and comical. And he starts screaming, and I would get scared in the middle of the show, and we don't need that. I see where you're going, though. That is a good song, the Limp Bizkit throwdown. That's true. This was also easier to find on iTunes. So, see, besides, Weasel wouldn't be jamming the way he is right now, just, you know, doing little Jay and Silent Bob head side-to-side thing, you know.
Been interesting if you got the Limp Bizkit version.
He just said that, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, Weasel. Glad you're here. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, Drew Brees being confident in the youth he has there is fine. I want to ask your guys' opinion on this pop quiz. More painful to the Saints' offense, getting rid of Jimmy Graham or getting rid of Kenny Stills after you got rid of Jimmy Graham? Weasel.
I just getting rid of Jimmy Graham because wide receiver, I think they'll be all right.
All right. Chris?
Yeah, I'd say Jimmy Graham. They can probably get another receiver in draft. Brandon Cooks come on strong last year, and we still got Marquise Colston, who hasn't had a lot. The last couple of years haven't been all that great, but you still have him. So, I mean, they really tight end. They don't have any right now that are worth mentioning. I'd say Jimmy Graham
in the game, of course. Well, see, here's the thing about that question. That was totally a trap.
It's a trap.
Okay, guys, it's very simple. The reason why Kenny Stills' departure is a bigger deal is, A, I don't know that Jimmy Graham is going to give you a full season anymore. He ain't what he used to be. Something about that shoulder, his mind ain't right. I don't even know. Stills was doing coming up and about as a good number two to whether it be him or Colston, depending on who you want to call the top threat. Now, not even he's there. I don't know. I would feel a lot better if it was Colston and Stills. Colston, Stills, and Cooks. Now it sounds like an old 60s folk group or something. But now you don't even have that. I don't know. I see what you're saying about Jimmy Graham, but then I don't. Can he stay healthy? He's got his money now. Is he motivated? I don't know. I know it's only 1 year, gentlemen, but the evidence is compelling in both directions. I'll say that. I don't know. That's my take. You both probably think I'm wrong, but hey, that's what makes the show great, I guess. Possibly. Whatever. You know what isn't great? The Tampa Bay Bucks. Boom. Weasel, where do you start?
Well, for the Bucks, I think it's good, of course, because if you got the first pick, and you got to talk about the quarterback position.
Right.
So, of course, I would say that's a good choice, and they did trade away a safety. So,
don't force that in there. But yeah, they did trade away Golson. I hear you. But is safety their biggest need? I wouldn't say so.
It's a running back, though. It's kind of Doug Martin. His rookie, I think it was his rookie year, or maybe second year. He was a star out there.
That boy was good.
He was really good, and but the last couple of years, I think due to injury. But they need someone to take some pressure off of. It's going to be Winston. So,
well, I would argue you say due to injury. I would say some of the injuries sustained on the offensive line, biggest part of that as well. But yeah, carry on.
Yep, and just left tackle. Anthony Collins, is he going to be it?
So, yeah, he's on the O-line, too. So, that's when you know you're in trouble, is when you have to pick quarterback in a year where the quarterback class is kind of, I don't know. And then on top of that, your O-line sucks. Not a good combination. Chris, where would you build on that?
Yeah, I'm, of course the quarterback is the need, and it's pretty much going to draft for the quarterback. Offensive line is a major need there. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, they had, I think, probably like 10 or 12 different starting offensive linemen rotation last year.
Yeah.
Due to injury, due to people not panning out. So I'd say offensive line is a major concern. Secondary, probably too, but. I mean, their strong point right now is their wide receivers and probably their defensive line.
Pop quiz. Florida team most desperate for an O-line upgrade. Weasel.
I guess it's going to be the Bucs.
Okay, Weasel says the Bucs. Chris?
There's a lot of teams that need an offensive line upgrade.
Well, all three of them do. That's why it's a good question.
I think there's other teams that need it worse.
Well, no, it's Florida teams. That was the question. Right? Which Florida team? Which Florida team?
Team, yeah.
Most needs
which Florida team? Which Florida team? Let's go to Jags.
See, that's what I would have said. Not to say that you're wrong, Weasel. I could go either way on this one, but who knows? Maybe if Bortles turns out to actually be a better quarterback than Winston, I'm assuming Winston gets the first pick. Then you would be right and stuff. I don't know. Defensively, I kind of like where they have, for the most part, except, rushing the passer up front. I feel like they need some work. I mean, Gerald McCoy is there, and then, you know, you got Levante David, who's a decent linebacker, but beyond that, I'm not feeling it myself there too. Of course, Goldson's departure. This is the reason why I phrased the question the way I did, guys. Where in the hell do you start with this squad? I don't even know. I know we're not doing predictions, and obviously you don't need to change, or you can change your mind until the Monday before the season starts. That's the rule here. But I think I'm going to go already out on a limb and say that Tampa is going to be less than 500. I don't think there's a question here. You know, Lovie Smith would probably be fired next year. I thought he should have been axed already, but that's a different topic. I don't know. Anything to add on the Bucks? Because I'm starting to get really depressed here. With that, I don't know. You're at the firehouse there, Chris. Is there any way you can get me some crisis management? I'm not doing so good talking about the Bucks here. I'm just
no encouragement for the Bucks. I think. You got to see if they make an improvement this year over last year. I mean, with Bobby Smith, I said they need to get 3 years there just to see what he can do in the 3 years. So with all this change, I'd say we see what all the drafts this year, how the players pan out. I'd say what they need to do is concentrate on the opposite side of the ball. They're in the NFC South. So they have to keep up with the Saints' normal offense and the Falcons' offense. I mean, you got to score points because those teams are going to score points too. So, I mean, you just have to have your defense a little bit better than the other defense, and that's where Lovie Smith should come into play there. So you just need to concentrate on their offensive side of the ball. The only team that has a defense in this South is the Panthers. So you just kind of see if an offensive can beat the defense that day.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump over to the Falcons. You seem to think they have a defense. I am not a member of this group. Can you tell me what it is you see with the Falcons' defense that's worth the time?
Man, I didn't say the Falcons had a defense. That's an offense.
Oh, excuse me. In that case, carry on. My bad.
No, I said that high-powered offense. They don't have neither of them. Saints or the Falcons have a defense. The only one team that has a defense in the South is the Panthers.
Right. And well, in the past, the Saints have definitely been defensively lagging. You and I have varying versions of faith in the Saints' defense. At least what it looks like on paper right now today, before the draft. I think they're vastly improved. But yeah, the Falcons, however, I have Falcons defense, Weasel. I mean, do you have defense as their main need?
I'd say running backs up there because, yeah, I think Steven Jackson's getting up there. But who they got at safety?
Huh?
Safety. Because right now it's looking like, they got William Moore, Charles Godfrey, and Kemal Ishmael, Desmond Southward.
So I repeat my question.
Kamal,
who?
Kamal Ishmael, you can't even pronounce the UCF alumni.
Well, I mean, all that being said, the how you say, the defense, well, the secondary particularly was unimpressive to me. Actually, they're not really impressive anywhere. I'll forget about that. That's where I'm at. I don't know. But yeah, Devontae Freeman is at least a bright spot in that running game. But yeah, Steven Jackson isn't a factor. I don't even think he's going to be on the roster to start the year. That would be my guess, if he's not cut already. I don't know. But I think the one spot that they're relatively solid is receiver. And I guess Matt Ryan's good enough at quarterback. I won't front on that either. I don't know. Chris, where do you start with the Falcons?
With them hiring Dan Quinn as the new head coach, I'd start on defensive side of the ball, since that's his specialty. I'd start there. It worked away. Maybe an offensive line could help them out. They need a running back as well. But I'd say mostly defensive side of the ball. What they really need to do is go after Red Bryant, defensive tackle, to help solidify that spot, since he was released by the Jags. And since he is a product of Dan Quinn's system, he'd actually probably fit in nicely and help mentor some of the younger guys there in the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I can get behind that. Weasel, you make good sense, obviously, with the running back upgrade concept. But if it's me, it's O-line first. I mean, last year, they kind of showed us, granted, a lot of it was due to injury, I understand that, but, you know, their depth wasn't there. And other than Jake Matthews, I don't see a whole lot of hope there. There was a reason why they drafted Jake Matthews last year. So, yeah, I don't know. There you go. Sweet. I want to add more to that, but, I mean, again, look, there's a reason why this division happens to be the Kardashian sisters of the NFL. They're all just giant train wrecks. I don't know. For all I know, Sean Payton may have a sex tape out there. Just allegedly right now. It's a joke. It's not real. It's not real. Easy. Something else that's unreal is the way the Panthers limped their way to the playoffs. Look, I've gone on high and preached left, right, up, down, and center two things about the Panthers. A, Kelvin Benjamin's awesome. B, a team with a losing record in the playoffs, I shouldn't make the joke about it being a sin this close to Easter having just passed, but yeah, I just don't get it. Anyways, so they have Greg Hardy leaving. I don't know what you do if you're the Panthers, because Cam Newton ain't the problem, in my opinion. Their defense is still awesome, I'll grant, even though their line is going to be less without Greg Hardy. Whether you believe he should be allowed to play or not is a different subject. That's going to affect the roster, certainly. But Weasel, Panthers, where do you start?
Well, definitely, I think, with defensive line, because you got Charles Johnson, but it's nice to have someone on the other end. Let's see. Safety, I would say that's a possibility. But
I had safety as well.
But wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin is, you know, yeah, I think he could be a number one wide receiver, but late in the draft at least. When your next best, I think they got Jericho Cotchery, and so maybe draft someone a little bit later. But yeah, linebacker, they're good. I mean, just a
linebacker, they're awesome. They got Kukli and Thomas Davis.
Yeah. So, but and you could maybe even mention running back, because I think Jonathan Stewart's still. I think he has some injury problems at times.
Well, I mean, so, you know, he's asked to do an awful lot. Running back, certainly consideration, especially for an offense whose main focus is, in fact, running the football. I mean, you say Kelvin Benjamin could be a number one receiver. Look, whether he wants to be or not, whether you think he's good enough to be or not, that's what he's doing right now. You're saying it as there's a maybe here. No, that's where he's at on this roster. And I think he did pretty well. I mean, they still got Greg Olsen, But goodness only knows what's left of him, Weasel.
It was a. I can only get the right numbers. But the funny thing about Kelvin Benjamin was that last year, he ran, I think, the 40 and what was it, like 4.6 or 4.7. And he did so bad. And the reason was because he wanted him to drop to the Panthers later on.
Allegedly.
But
I'm not buying your conspiracy theory. I'm sorry.
It's like, you know, you go for low numbers and then you say, hey, Panthers, I'll be there.
Bro, look, okay. It's cute. Don't get me wrong. He wanted to play for the Panthers. I don't know why, but whatever. If it wasn't for the millions of dollars connected to you descending a certain number of picks, you know, whether you're like, say, you know, just to pick numbers at random, 10th versus 15th or whatever. If it wasn't for that, I might believe you. But no, there's way too much money for these dudes to be sandbagging. Not to mention, receivers have egos, rightfully so. He gonna want to be fast. You know, I don't know. It's cute. It belongs in a movie. Maybe, and I'm sure that movie would have been better than Kevin Costner in Draft Day. See what I did there? I haven't even seen that movie yet. I just heard it was bad. I don't know, but I don't know. The conspiracy theory is terrible. Hey, but last but not least, Weasel, you know another receiver who's a complete waste of time that ran 4.6 in his 40?
What?
You know who?
You can say Jerry Rice or something.
I'm going to say Jerry Rice. Take it! Know your role, son. That's what the combine means.
So you're saying that Kelvin Benjamin's like Jerry Rice?
He's taller.
Yeah.
Weasel's like, I don't have an answer for that. I just don't. No. Anyways, I don't know. Of course, Kelvin Benjamin hasn't admitted to using Stick'Em yet either, so there's that.
Stick'Em.
Whatever. Yeah. Exactly. I would make jokes about Stick'Em and the replacements, but I don't know that that's appropriate for our show. So since we cut through the NFC South so quickly, let's go ahead and jump over to break. We will be back shortly. We, of course, are on the NGSE Sports. And, we'll see you in 60 seconds after this break. The wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code SPREAKER to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And, of course, we are back here on the Student of the Game, bringing you awesome, just like we do, because football. So, anyways, in studio with me, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
And, of course, Chris Rankin coming to us from the fire station. That sounds like the fire station sounds like a club where hydraulic uprights might be performing. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, that could be it. It does sound like it would be a club, the fire station, especially how you mention it.
Fire station.
Yeah, exactly. Hydraulic upright, the headliner.
I don't know. You think they would warm the stage up there for pneumatic goalpost? Weasel's.
Yeah, pneumatic goalpost would warm up the stage. They would be the opening act.
Oh, the hydraulic upright. Yeah, you said they'd be the headliner. There you go. All right. I just want to get that straight. I don't know. You know, here's something random, guys, and I don't know exactly how I came up with this. Excuse me. Because it's normally this time of year, because the sports week is relatively slow, right? People come up with brackets. you know, for random things. You know, some things I've heard, for example, are like someone did a bracket for like comic book superheroes. Someone did one for like breakfast cereal. Somebody did one for bands, you know, and they come up with brackets and go down through the rotation or whatever and come up with the best, you know, whatever. So I came up with one in my head. And again, don't ask me how it happened. It just kind of landed in there. Don't say it, Weasel. That game show hosts as a bracket. It's compelling stuff, right? I'm trying to tell you. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. Is Alex Trebek an obvious number one seed if you go game show host brackets?
I would say so.
You would say so?
Yes.
So, okay. Then Bob.
I would say he would too, and so would Pat Sajak.
See, I guess, but I wouldn't put. Pat Sajak doesn't really do anything. No one's really made like a comedy sketch off of Pat Sajak. Whereas, you know, Will Ferrell has done. Well, actually, no. I mean, if you go back far enough, you got Ed Gribble worshiping Pat Sajak. I don't know. I was thinking that you got to have Bob Barker as well as number one.
Yeah, he'd be another one on my own team, correct?
So we got three number ones there. Who's the fourth?
Who's the Family Feud guy?
Well, see, there's
the older one.
There's so many Family Feud guys. I don't think Richard Dawson makes the cut as a number one, but he would certainly make the bracket.
The bracket. Yeah.
I don't know that you put Steve Harvey number one, but he should make the bracket. I don't think John C. Hurley should make the bracket. I don't think Richard he shouldn't make the bracket. I'll just say that Richard Karn. Karn's the guy that owns the Jags. Karn is the guy one of the Family Feud hosts. I don't know. So I think part of the problem there is you got so many dudes splitting votes, maybe. But that's an interesting thought. I was thinking Chuck Woolery because of all the different shows he's been on. I mean, you know, you got the Danny Game, you got Love Connection. He was on Lingo, for anybody who knows what that show is. I don't know. Anyways, there's your random discussion for the day. There's your top four, or your number one seeds for the game show bracket. You know, there you go. Boom. I think we got a pretty solid set there. I don't know about Pat Sajak, but we'll let it slide. I would have said Wink Martindale, mostly because it's a dude named Wink. I'm just saying. Anyways, this is how sad.
I don't think we can get like 32 hosts of game show hosts.
Well, when you start breaking it down, you can get enough. You know, but how famous are all of them? Like, for example, technically you could fit in Jerry Springer at this point because of his show that he has on Game Show Network right now. What is it? Baggage, I think it's called, or whatever. You know, it's basically like his old show minus the fighting. So what's the point? But I don't know. Anyways, enough about that. I could go on and on about that, and I'm sure we have better things to do. Like, deal with the part of the South that's better than the NFC South, the AFC South. First of all, look, I'll be honest, guys. After we start with this team, the next three, I probably won't care. But let's go ahead and knock it down. The Houston Texans with the MVP, J.J. Watt. I said it! The MVP, J.J. Watt. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers got the trophy. J.J. Watt, MVP 2014. According to this entire panel. Am I still bitter? Hold on, let me look at my wall photo. All right, now I feel better. Here we go. So Texans needs. First of all, did anybody put any defensive position as a need for the Houston Texans next year?
Oh, maybe linebacker inside.
Really? Got a problem with Brian Cushing, do you?
Not just him.
Not just him? You got a problem with Whitney Merciless? Oh, he's outside, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a problem with Jadeveon Clowney, it's because he hasn't played many games. Okay, I get that. But he's not inside either. I don't know. Hey, linebacker? Hey, here's another thing, too. With Vince Wilfork and J.J. Watt.
That's nice.
Your grandmother can sack the quarterback. Because ain't no one else going to try to block you if you're middle linebacker. I'm just saying.
Hopefully, Clowney does make a comeback. Because that's, you know, everyone wanted to see J.J. Watt, Clowney on other sides. Mayhem.
I don't. I don't care anymore because I get to see Vince Wilfork and J.J. Watt. I get to see SWAT and the fastest immovable object on Earth. I don't need Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon is just a Clowney to me now. I don't care. I don't care. And if he is there, guess what? Now we just started the next in the franchise of Halloween movies. I'm trying to tell you. It's like every time before the ball snaps, you hear that music. You know, like the horror movie for shut up. But certainly not the biggest need. I mean, I did put safety as a possible need for the Texans on defense. But Chris, any defensive positions for the Texans that you think are in need?
No, the only thing I can think of would maybe be safety.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
But, we need to start calling with Vince Wilfork and J.J. Watt. We should start calling them SWAT and SWAT.
SWAT and SWAT.
Vince Wilfork's just going to SWAT there in the middle of the line right there. So it's like, so we got SWAT and SWAT.
Is that the headline track on the hydraulic upright CD, SWAT and SWAT?
Yeah, SWAT and SWAT.
That's awesome. So top needs for the Texans. Anybody else put quarterback? Nobody? Really?
Yeah, I picked quarterback. I picked quarterback and I picked receiver.
I picked tight end as well.
And tight end as well, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, so they're great until they have to throw the ball. Notice how nobody even seems to have an issue with the O-line of the Texans either. Probably because they have to practice across from J.J. Watt every day. Go ahead, Chris.
Right. Well, their O-line's not that bad. Their O-line's pretty decent. Arian Foster's coming back healthy. I mean, he showed last year that he's coming back stronger at the end of the year.
Yep.
So, I mean, that offensive line helps. They've been getting into their third year together now. So, their offensive line is fine. They just need a quarterback that can throw the ball. And then they need someone else to help out with receiving because DeAndre Hopkins, I know how good he is, but he can't do it all.
We know.
DeAndre Johnson's gone.
We know you know how good he is. He's the guy you predicted. I get it. You got it right again, Chris. Congratulations. Dang it. No, but in all seriousness, like Hoyer, I think you'll agree, is an upgrade to what they had last year, right? But I still feel like that spot is a need. If you're the Texans, is drafting a quarterback a sensible move if there's one good enough at that pick? I don't think there would be, but.
I mean, it's like, do y'all believe in Ryan Mallett? Because when during drafting and stuff, he was one of those guys that were talented, but he had the character problems he had. But it's been a long way, so it's either him or maybe I think he's a career backup, Brian Hoyer. Could he be good?
Well, but Brian Hoyer at least had some moments last year. Ryan Mallett had a game, basically. I don't know. It's kind of like the same situation that the Browns actually had last year. Do you start Mallett or do you roll the dice on this kid? And of course, in that case, I mean Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. But Jim Manziel shouldn't have even been drafted when he was. That's a different topic. Let's not rehash that whole mess. That's what the next draft needs episode is for when we get to the North, the last remaining region, of course. I don't know. I would say that with everything else falling into place the way it does in Houston, provided they get a receiver or two, at that point, they're not missing enough pieces for it to be an issue in a division that's relatively weak. Weasel.
So, yes, they have a... DeAndre Hopkins. Now the question is,
DeAndre Hopkins.
The question is can he be your number one wide receiver, or
Chris told you he can?
You think that they need to pick up someone that can, you know, take that a higher role than him?
I don't know that they need a guy to do better than him. They need another guy who's worth a damn. Their roster of receivers does not do it for me. Like, for example, if they were to get a Michael Crabtree, now we're talking. Of course, it looks like he's going to be going to the Raiders, which is ironic because the only reason that Michael Crabtree held out was because the Raiders drafted Darius Haywood Bay ahead of him.
Yeah.
Not bitter at all. Just saying. Let that soak in, the irony there, folks. I might even have to call up the NGSC West Recess and give Raider Rome a hard time about that. I don't know. If you heard that, Rome, I'm coming. I'm warning you right now. Anyway. Anyways. Wow. Chris, make sure you...
The Texans, the type of receiver they need, they need like a possession receiver, or at least a possession tight end. Someone big body across the middle. Crabtree would have been perfect for them.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't pay them, but you know, they need that big presence because DeAndre Hopkins got the speed, he's got the hands. So he's the receiver that you have in space. You just need like a possession receiver for your third down and stuff like that.
Yeah, because they definitely missed that from without Owen Daniels last year. I can certainly agree with that statement. So, all right, Chris, get the crisis management unit up here. You could probably already guess who the next team we're going to talk about is: the Tennessee Titans. First of all, everybody, stop it! Look at me, listen to me. We're not on video, so you have to listen to me. No one is satisfied with Zach Mettenberger as their quarterback. It is a smokescreen. Don't be that guy. Okay? Stop it. All right? There you go. Weasel, where do you start with the Titans?
Well, the thing about the quarterback position, it's kind of a little bit on and off. But let's see. How about, you got defensive end. It's looking like actually.
I've seen a lot of
defensive
here.
Line. Yeah, I'd say a defensive line is pretty big.
So. Obviously, after quarterback, like you said, right? I think you're going in the right direction with beef. I think you have the wrong part of the grill. The O line definitely a concern, because if they're planning on developing Zach Mettenberger, they're going to need an O line to protect him. And if they're going to have Marcus Mariota in there, they're definitely going to need to protect him. That's where I'm at. I don't know. Their D-line does need a lot of work. Their pass rush ain't nothing special. I like their secondary. I think you're absolutely right there, but I don't know. Chris, the Titans, how do you manage this crisis?
Yeah, I'd say you need to go O-line. Running back is not all that great. I mean, he's decent. Bishop, thank you. Even if they stay with Mettenberger or draft Marcus Mariota, offensive line you need, because I mean, look at how many injuries Jake Locker had. That's why he's retiring.
Yeah, right.
He sucks. But Mettenberger also, you know, got injured last year twice. So you need to protect your quarterback. You need to go offensive line. Receivers, you know, are decent enough right now because they got so many other needs. But then, even side of the ball, I might say the secondary. But really, the main concern really is quarterback and offensive line.
Yeah, I personally find a running back as a need too, because I'm sorry, I am not excited by Bishop Sankey. Now, granted, maybe it's the O-line's fault. I don't know. But Bishop Sankey does not do it for me at all. Sean Green, What do you got?
Yeah, but the thing is, you got so many other needs that are worse off. So he'd be able to suffice a year until next year, because really, realistically, you have so many needs right now. By the time you get down to running backs, it's not even worth it. Wait till next year.
Chris, what you said to me is kind of like being Fast and Furious 8, okay? You might be better than that third movie that was Tokyo Drift that was complete crap, but you're still a beep movie, okay? You're still bad. It's still a need. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You're right.
Right.
There are other teams that are far worse off. They don't even have potential. They just suck right now. That's where I'm at. I don't know, man. I'm just so bitter today. I don't know what's up, man. I blame the Titans. What can I say? I don't know.
Well, word is that they're definitely looking to trade the second overall pick.
Yeah.
They're hoping for the Eagles or a team like that that will give them what the Redskins had to give up to get RG3
right.
to the Rams.
Right.
So, because, yeah, they got some holes to fill. So I think that would be a good move, but I don't know. Eagles, I haven't really heard a team that's like that are that crazy about getting, you know, Mariota. I think people call him a good player and stuff, but I don't see that team like the Like a couple years ago, the Redskins clearly wanted him. They were going to that number two pick. Mariota? I don't know.
Well, first of all, let me be clear, Weasel. The hype is not there for Mariota, okay? There was suck for luck. There was whiffing for Griffin. There's not... There is no screw yourself over to get Mariota. I can't even come up with a good rhyme for it. That's how much that flows, okay? I don't know. Somebody work on that. If you find out with a, if you come up with a good bad hope for a bad pick saying for Marcus Mariota, similar to suck for luck or whiffing for Griffin, go ahead and tweet it at me at the SOTG. I'll send you a pin or something. No, seriously, I got some SOTG pins right here on my desk. Anyways.
Ooh.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I feel like Vanna. Ooh. right. I don't know. It's fun. What can we say? But no, but in you say that it looks that no one's obviously how was the way you put it? No one is obviously pursuing Mariota like Luck or Griffin because Luck and Griffin showed a lot more promise. I mean, seriously, is there a single rookie not named Cam Newton that competes with what Luck did as a rookie? Or hell, his first 2 years? Say no.
No.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. That all being said, here's the other side of the coin. Chip Kelly's been going all over Hell's Half Acre to try to fill in former Oregonians, whatever. We're going to go with...
Ducks.
Go ahead, Chris.
Just say ducks.
Stop ducking around with it. what he did there. No. If I kept going, Chris would have told me to duck off, but I digress. I guess technically that's what happened. But but in acquiring former ducks... a duck. It makes sense that he might make this move and take advantage of the smokescreen or whatever. I don't know. Here's the other thing, too. Whenever it comes to the team with that high-level pick trading back, unless it's an obvious player, i.e. whiffing for Griffin, suck for luck, right? You don't tend to see it happen too much just because of salary implications there. But I don't know. The point is, here's the question I'm trying to form, guys. Sam Bradford and an O-line revamp. Is that a successful draft for the Tennessee Titans? Chris?
Yeah, that would help. You know, even with Mariota, I don't even think the Titans really want to go that route because the player is convinced on. You know, that didn't pan out there in Tennessee. You know, he had a couple good years there, and that was it. So, Mariota probably has about the same mentality there. So, I would think they might be able to get that, especially if they can try to get some picks in the next couple years. So, Bradford and a revamped O line would probably be better than trying to get Mariota now.
Weasel.
Yeah. I think with Bradford, yeah, it's better.
You think Bradford can make the difference?
I think it's the guy's going into his fifth year, so
yeah.
It's just, I think it's his second ACL injury.
When he's on the field, the Rams were obviously better. That there's not a question there. I'm conflicted. I'll be honest. I don't know where exactly to go with that, but I think it's their best option. I think it's better than trying to go with Mariota straight up. The question is, will the Eagles bite? That, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen either. But like I said, there's evidence out there that Mariota may be all ducked in the head. See what I did there? And all set. Anyways, cheesy puns aside, heading up to Jacksonville next. Look, we all know they're not going to draft the quarterback. I like Blake Bortles. He had a good start as a rookie. That offensive line is just trash and a half. Talking about teams that might have worse running back situations than the Titans, this team could be it. I like Storm Johnson too, but no, this is not a good running back core, in my opinion. There were some shining bright moments, but as a core, they're not very good. The receiver core is better than you think. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement that O-line's the biggest need in Jacksonville. Yes, I mean,
I think you have one number that pretty much sums it up. 55.
55
was the number of times rookie quarterback Blake Bortles was sacked.
So if you do your math
number one, number one
top
in the
league, very good. If you do your math really quick, 55, 54 sacks would be an average of 4 per game.
That's a lot of getting beat
That's
up.
That's a lot of sacks.
Yep.
I can't even come up with a legitimate. That's more sacks than. Actually, never mind. That's going to go south real quick. That's kind of like, you know, Deflategate and talking about Brady handling balls. It's just not a good. It's just not. We're going to just stop right there. Tactical retreat. Chris, the Jags, tell me about it.
Yeah, they need an offensive line. Their running back, they can upgrade as well. I mean, if you look, they have a young team there. Their whole secondary is young. I think they're like 3 years in, all of them. You got two wide receivers, Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, who were both rookies last year. You had Blake Bortles, who was a rookie last year. Storm Johnson, who was a rookie last year. And your best running back was an ex-college quarterback. So I'd say offensive line, running back, and then maybe linebackers, because their defensive front four isn't that bad as well.
Yeah, I mean, they call their defensive front Seattle South because they at least had Red Bryant, and Chris Clemens is a man relative there. They still got my dude Alualu on that line. I love that name. I can't get enough. Paul Posluszny, even though he's in his ninth year, solid linebacker, nothing to complain about there. Their secondary, you're right, is the problem, I think, on defense. But that's mostly because of youth. I like that receiver core. Sure, they're without Cecil Shorts III, who is now a Titan. But at the end of the day, I think they have hope at that spot. Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis as a possible ace package. A two tight end set there, the two of them. That's pretty awesome. I'm enthused by that. If they end up keeping both guys. I don't know. Pop quiz. Should the Jags trade Mercedes Lewis to the Falcons for a better pick? They wouldn't get a better pick, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, seriously, Mercedes Lewis could be trade bait at this point. I think that makes sense with them picking up a Julius Thomas. Or maybe the plan is to have a core there since both guys have a history of injuries in their careers.
Maybe go to the Saints. Saints need someone.
The Saints need a wish right now. But then what do you get from the Saints? Do you get Kyrie Robinson? Do you go from Mark Ingram? Nah, he just extended his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up CJ Spiller, but is Kyrie Robinson really worth all that? I don't think so. I don't know. Speculation and a half. But now, we'll speculate on the champions. The Indianapolis Colts. Because Andrew Luck, no need for an upgrade at that quarterback position. Arguably the only established quarterback in the AFC South. That's funny. The NFC South has three quote-unquote established quarterbacks, but they're worse than the AFC South. Well, except for the Titans. Anyway. But on defense, I think it all starts with their D-line, guys, when it comes to the Colts. What say you, Chris?
Yeah, you got to go with the defensive line there for the defense side of the ball. I've been sad about it. You need an offensive line also to protect Luck a little bit. Everybody else there, they upgraded their running back. They got picked up Frank Gore. They upgraded their receivers with Andre Johnson. You still have T.Y. Hilton there at receiver. So I'd say the front four and then also the front line, they need to beef up in this draft.
Fair enough. Does it start? And here's something interesting. Like, I know Robert Mathis is a question mark as a free agent. They also would have Trent Cole on this defense, which I find interesting. But, I mean, Weasel, do I have the right idea that it's their pass rush that needs to be repaired? Because they have Vontae Davis. They have Mike Adams as a safety. I mean, is that where you would start? Is their D-line?
I would say so. I think with the D-line, it's if you don't get enough pressure, even if you could have these great defensive backs and stuff, you can't if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, I mean, the best defender out there, I mean, you can make them look bad by giving the quarterback so much time. So I think rush the passer, I would say, yeah, definitely the most important thing there.
Other than the Texans, for the most part, no one else in this division really gets after the quarterback. Actually, here's another question. Is Blake Bortles the most sacked quarterback in the NFL because he faces J.J. Watt twice?
Because when he's not playing him, he's thinking about him.
No, not that way. You mean he's scared of him, right?
Yeah, scared of him, yes.
This guy is so totally hot, I can't wait for him to tackle me. No, that's not what you meant. I mean, if it was, that's fine, because man crushes on J.J. Watt are okay on this show. But that's not what you meant there. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. How on earth did we get on those tangents? Don't even ask. I don't know. Anyways, you know the only thing more awesome than those J.J. Watt jokes? Is hydraulic upright, U-P-R-I-T-E, as
like
a
that.
Twitter handle. Boom.
That is pretty bone.
Chris has it. There you go. That's how you find him on Twitter. Here's a segue for you about that. Then, of course, Weasel wanted to get Pneumatic Upright as his Twitter handle, but it's too long, so he's still Weasel, the SOTG. Of course, I am the SOTG, student of the game, Kyle Nash. You can find me on Twitter there. Please go to the NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Check out the Sports Symposium, the opening episode. Going to try to do one a month there. As we explore in our first symposium topic, what makes an MVP? The other piece is April 16th is the NGSC Sports mock draft. That'll be a great time all the way around, and you won't have to listen to me pontificate about the draft because, well, you don't want that. But it sure beats Mike Mayock doing it, I'm just saying. But our experts on that draft will go there, open that up, and just put a complete can of, whoop-ass on it. And that's a professional description there. Scientific, right? Let's see. And I think that'll do it for the moment, guys. So, Weasel, depending on his schedule, we'll do the North next week if he's here. If not, it'll be in 2 weeks. Give us time to thoroughly digest the meeting with Roger Goodell that he's soon to have for his reinstatement. Pop quiz. First thing said in the meeting room between Roger Goodell and Adrian Peterson. Weasel.
What have you learned?
Ooh, okay, that's good. Chris.
I didn't do it.
The Shaggy defense. It wasn't me. I'm not going to do any better than what have you learned. That was pretty good. But I don't think... Wow. Okay, you know what? If you can't improve on something, just don't let it be. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to wrap it up. Class dismissed. Good night, everybody.
All right, we're out. God, that show was tedious. It was fun, but... we had no other headlines to really go off of, so it was just straight analysis. I'm like, all right, trying to keep it up on its feet.
We may need, we may get to talk about